May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 761. Show pity, Lord. O Lord, forgive. Let a repenting rebel live. Are not thy mercies large and free? May not a sinner trust in thee? Hymn 761.
Thank you.
Our reading from God's holy word is from the book of the Judges and chapter 16. The book of Judges, chapter 16. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict me. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak, and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withes, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withes, as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak, and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait, abiding in the chamber. And he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep, and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak, and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice. For they said, Our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord, and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords, and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. May the Lord bless his holy word. And now, John, will you come and pray, please?
Dear kind and gracious God, oh, do grant us now a spirit of real prayer. Lord, we do pray thy blessing upon the reading of thy word. Oh, do bless it to us. And Lord, do help us now as we come before thee in prayer. Oh, do indite that real prayer, that prayer which thou wilt hear. Oh, and do grant those answers we pray to our poor petitions. Oh, as we would pray, Lord, as we sung this morning, oh, permit a worm to bow before thy throne, a worm deserving endless misery, but pleads the blood that did for sin atone. Oh, do help us to come before thee, confessing our sins, desiring thy mercy. Oh, do look upon us. Lord, we do pray that thou be with us, oh, as we gather into thy house, into this Sabbath evening hour. Lord, do come, do grant thy presence here tonight. Oh, may it be, oh, one of those times to remember. Oh, a time, Lord, that we can look back upon and, oh, remember, oh, that's it. Lord, as we have not one of thy servants with us, we do pray that thou bless that which has been read. Lord, oh, that which was preached in years past, do help our deacon in reading it. And Lord, oh, may it be fresh, oh, to us. And Lord, we do pray that, oh, thou grant thy blessing upon it. We do pray thy blessing upon that we heard here this morning. Lord, be with thy servant where he is tonight. And, oh, do help him again, we pray. And Lord, oh, we do pray that it may be a good Sabbath day. Do help thy servants up and down the land where they're preaching this night. Lord, do be with them. Bless the word. May it be with power. May something be done today to thy honour and glory. Lord, we pray that there may be the signs following the preaching of the word this day. Oh, Lord, do work amongst the churches, we pray. Lord, we would thank thee for thy many mercies. Oh, for gathering us together again. Lord, thy goodness to us. Oh, can we not say hitherto have the Lord helped us. Lord, oh, thou hast been a helper, and Lord, we, oh, so undeserved of thy mercy. Lord, do remember us still. Oh, have compassion upon us, we pray. And Lord, do keep us. Oh, keep the door of our lips, keep our thoughts. Oh, that we may not grieve thee. Lord, we do pray for, Lord, those families who are away from us today. Do be with them where they are. And Lord, where they may be gathering in thy house tonight, wherever. Lord, do be with them. Watch over them and bring them back in peace and safety. Lord, remember the family visiting us today and be with them. And Lord, the church where they normally attend. Oh, do undertake for them. Lord, as the most of the children, Lord, of that week's holiday, we pray they'll watch over them and keep them. May that little rest do them good, we pray. And oh, Lord, do undertake for us each. Oh, every untrodden step. Lord, thou knowest all that may lie before us in the coming week. Oh, we pray that thou'll be with us, undertake for us, keep us in peace and safety. Oh, do watch over each one of us and undertake for us, we pray. Lord, we do pray that, oh, thou'lt bless, Lord, the services here in thy house, and do help thy servants as they come amongst us. We pray for the one expected on the coming Friday. Lord, thou hast used him here in the past. Oh, do use him again. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou'lt give him that word to come up with us, to us on Friday if I will. Lord, do bless his labours. And Lord, we do pray that, oh, thou'lt build us up here and add to us. And Lord, bring others in. Oh, constrain one and another to come and tell what thou hast done for. Lord, do work amongst us, we pray. Oh, do keep us, Lord, and do build us up. We pray that if it can be thy will, that thou grant us a pastor here. Oh, Lord, we would look to thee. Oh, grant us that right exercise. May we yet see thy hand going before us in this way. Remember the little ones, Lord, come amongst us, and oh, do keep them. May there be that generation to follow on here, we pray. Oh, do keep them, Lord, do undertake for them. Keep them to thy house. Lord, we would remember our elderly one in the home. Oh, do draw near. Lord, now in that great age and great week, oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou art drawn near. Oh, do grant her a visit. Lord, do come into that home, we pray. Lord, oh, and do draw near. Lord, that it may be well. Oh, well, life shall last, and well when called to die. Oh, do prepare us each, Lord. Oh, for that day which must come to us. Oh, make us right before thee. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou art, oh, in mercy, Lord, look upon us each. Remember our deacon who is unwell. Lord, do be with him. Pray that thou art strengthen him and raise him up again to that health and strength. And his dear one too. Lord, as these afflictions come, we do pray that thou sanctify them to us each. Lord, do restore again, we pray. And Lord, do help our deacon, Lord, tonight. Oh, give him all needed help and bless that which is to be read. Lord, we would remember our country. Oh, Lord, do in mercy look upon. Lord, thou knowest all the things that are going on. Oh, but thou art in control. Lord, oh, that we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt, oh, so work in our leaders. Lord, may we yet see that change. Lord, do appear for us. Oh, do turn us again unto thee. Lord, we do pray that, oh, thou wilt have mercy. Remember those in other lands, Lord, who, oh, in poverty and war and bloodshed, and, oh, Lord, do have mercy upon them. Lord, oh, as we live in here, Lord, in plenty, and, oh, so many mercies. Lord, oh, may we not know the value of them by the loss of them. Lord, oh, do grant us a truly thankful one. And oh, remember those who are not as privileged as us. And grant us, Lord, that truly thankful heart for each and every mercy. Oh, do then be with us now. Lord, do help us tonight. Grant us that spirit of real prayer. Lord, oh, may we be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Oh, do bless the word, bless the hymn, the singing of the hymns. And Lord, we do pray that, oh, thou empty, send us not away. Lord, may it be our service to remember. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 390. Jesus, let thy pitying eye call back a wandering sheep. False to thee, like Peter, I would fain like Peter weep. Let me be by grace restored. On me be all its freeness shown. Turn and look upon me, Lord, and break my heart of stone. Hymn 390. try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Ramsbottom. And the texts are found in the chapter we read, and there are three different verses. But they are taken from verses 19, 20, and 22. The book of Judges, chapter 16, verses 19, and his strength went from him. Verse 20, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again. Mr. Ramsbottom had preached a sermon from the same texts in the morning, and this is the evening sermon. I see such a beauty in this word, howbeit. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where Samson's sin had abounded, grace did much more abound in his free forgiveness and pardon and glorious restoration. Howbeit, despite his awful sin, howbeit, despite all the immorality, the lust, the wickedness. Howbeit, though the hair of his head was shaven, howbeit, though the veil, that is, the Nazarite veil, that his head was not to be shaven, howbeit, though the veil was dishonored, the separation, sanctification, surrender to the Lord, put on one side. Howbeit, the Lord was still merciful. Howbeit, the Lord was still gracious. Howbeit, the Lord still loved him. So, howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The case of Samson was an exceedingly solemn case. He was a much favored man, a much honored man. God had greatly used him, greatly blessed him, but he sinned against light and against knowledge. Howbeit, there was something to stop him from sinking into hell. There was something to stop Satan from triumphing over him. Howbeit, it is a beautiful word. Beloved friends, it is a very similar word to nevertheless. We have that word nevertheless in so many places in Scripture. You cannot get beyond it. You cannot sink beneath it. In one of the Psalms, we have such an account of Israel's sin and wickedness. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. We read in the 89th Psalm of backsliding, turning away. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Oh, this wonderful word, nevertheless. Really, it is the same word as howbeit. The two really are one and the same. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. Nevertheless, the hair of his head began to grow again. And that wonderful nevertheless of the New Testament, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure. Some terrible things had been happening in Paul's life, and some who had appeared godly, gracious, so promising, had not only turned aside, but were opposing, denying the truth. And not only so, but as so often happens, they overthrew the faith of others. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. That was Paul's resting place. May it be our resting place, as we see so many terrible things in the world. Truth fallen in the streets. The professing church, such a disgrace. We come to our own churches. So many things we would rather not see. And above all, when we come to our own lives, our faults and failures. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. What a mercy if you and I are on it, because if we are on it, we can never be shaken off it. We might be shaken, but we cannot be shaken off the foundation. We might shake on the rock, but the rock will not shake. So, Paul, none of these things move me. In his feelings, they turned him upside down. But none of these things can move me from my standing in Christ. None of these things can move me from my standing on the Rock of Ages. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. Nevertheless, I remember in my early days preaching at Manchester, and a godly old woman told me how once she was in great spiritual darkness and distress, and the Lord completely delivered her by the power of just that one word, nevertheless. It is not how much religion we have. It is whether it is real. It is to have truth in the power of it. Nevertheless, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Now I do not want to go over all those things I tried to say this morning. How Samson, despite his sins, was a godly man. We read that the Lord blessed him. He is among the worthies of faith in Hebrews 11. There is not time for me again this evening to go into the Nazarite vow, the symbol of which was never to have his hair shaved from his head. But just to think of his shameful sin against God, the wickedness, the open immorality, the betraying of his sanctification and separation and dedication to Christ. And then his strength went from him, and he wist not. He did not know that the Lord was departed from him. And he said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. It was no longer as at other times before. I tried to speak this morning of our nation with its head on Delilah's lap, and the Church of God and sinners personally. Oh, but how solemn the people of God we are called to be, spiritual Nazarites. Our calling is this: emptied of earth I fain would be, the world, myself, and all but thee, only reserved for Christ that died, surrendered to the crucified. To live, to walk, constrained by love, to the honour and glory of God. But how often our Nazarite vow is defiled, and with it what spiritual weakness comes. Are you satisfied? Are some of you like me? You mourn over your spiritual weakness? Things were not always so. Once I beheld his lovely face, as full of truth and full of grace. 10,000 suns were dim in lustre when compared with him. Our love was not always weak, or our hope, or our faith, or our zeal. But with passing years and the subtle effect of sin, there is the eroding of our spiritual life. Oh, the pain of it, the shame of it, to have to realize what weak Christians we are. That is what I feel to be, a weak Christian, and weak in a profession, and weak as a preacher, and weak as a pastor. Oh, this spiritual weakness. His strength went from him. And yet in all this you see the wonderful mercy that his strength was restored. It is a wonderful subject, divine restoration. David on one occasion said, "He restoreth my soul." And our hymn writer says, "Let me be by grace restored. On me be all its freeness shown." That is the wonderful tidings of the gospel, that however weak we have become spiritually, the Lord is graciously able to restore us and revive us and strengthen us. It seems clear to me that Samson's strength at the end of his life was greater than it ever was before. This last act of Samson was the greatest act of strength he ever performed. So the Lord is able to give you even more than you had at the beginning. That is what we want. The Lord to make us strong again, to make us strong in faith and hope and love and humility and holy zeal and his tender fear. It was so with David. David fell dreadfully, and his fall weakened him. But the Lord made him strong again. The Lord restored him. Some of David's most blessed psalms were written after he had been restored. So with Peter, how weak he became. He was afraid of a little servant girl, and in his weakness he denied his Lord and Master. Yet the greatest event of Simon Peter's life was on the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 souls were called by grace under his preaching. He had never known such strength before. I believe this blessed truth, the complete restoration of grace. I disagree strongly with Spurgeon on that. He felt if a child of God in public office had fallen into sin, he could be forgiven and restored to church membership, but he could never hold office in the church of God. I wonder if any of us would ever have appointed Simon Peter to preach on the day of Pentecost. It was only a few weeks before, when he had openly dishonoured his Lord and Master, openly denied him with oaths and curses. You might say, surely James or the beloved John would be the best. I believe it is complete restoration. We do not want to get on legal ground, but no sinner, no child of God will ever be allowed to sin cheaply. But I believe Samson was completely forgiven, completely restored. I believe Samson's strength, the strength God gave him, was greater at the end of his life than it was at the beginning, than it ever was before. But didn't that man have to suffer? He lost his eyes. Literally lost his eyes. Eyeless in Gaza, at the mill with slaves, as John Milton so simply puts it. John Milton could walk in sympathy with Samson because he himself was blind. But Samson had to suffer. He had to suffer bitterly. He knew the chastening hand of his God. Let none think you can sin, and then you can repent. Do you remember reading of that woman at Hartford, one of Bernard Gilpin's congregation? She was tempted to sin. She thought it was only this once, and God is a forgiving God. So she committed this open sin. Oh, how that poor woman had to suffer, though she was forgiven and went to heaven. None will be allowed to sin lightly. Then will I visit their transgression with the rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. There will be the chastening, and there will be the correction, but there will be the love, and there will be the mercy. Don't we long for that gracious restoring in the Church of God and in our country, of course, but especially in our souls, that it might be with us as in days past. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. The Philistines could not destroy the roots. I reckon they shaved his head pretty close, but they could not touch the roots. And Satan may shave your head pretty close, and he may shave you of all your hope, and all your comfort, and all your joy, and everything. But he cannot touch the roots of vital godliness in your heart. That is your mercy and mine. And the hair of your head will begin to grow again if your religion is real, as you wait humbly on the Lord. Satan cannot touch the root of vital godliness. Job, amidst all his trouble and sorrow and affliction, and Satan was shaving him pretty closely, said, "The root of the matter is found in me." And if you have the root of the matter in your heart that is between yourself and Christ, that root can never be destroyed. It is a very similar point, though a completely different analogy, where the Lord kindly promises that he will restore the years that the locust, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, and the canker worm have eaten. There is the figure. Everything seemed to be growing well, and there was this secret army, the locust, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, and the canker worm, and they consumed the whole lot. You could not see a single green shoot. There was complete desolation, complete destitution, but they could not touch the root. The root was still there. Do you believe what we sometimes sing? All thy wastes I will repair. Thou shalt be rebuilt anew, and in thee it shall appear what the God of love can do. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. Now, I believe there was a pathway of forgiveness and finally to heaven for Samson. And it is that same pathway for you and me when our spiritual strength is weakened, when our Nazarite vow is defiled, when we are left to backsliding of heart. It is a wonderful mercy if we are kept from it outwardly. That is all of grace. But how guilty we feel ourselves inwardly. The first step is repentance. It is not altogether stated, but it is clearly implied here, that poor Samson, under the chastening hand of God, surrounded by enemies, completely separated from the Lord's people, humbled, humiliated, losing his eyes, and there grinding at the mill with slaves. That was the time when the Lord blessed him with repentance. We need to repent of our sins, not just to say we are sorry, but we need to repent of our sins, which we are not able to do of ourselves. We need the Lord to bless us with repentance, to touch our hearts, to make them soft, to be sorry for our sins, not just because it has brought us into trouble, but because it has dishonoured our Lord and Saviour, and to seek mercy and to seek forgiveness. There is forgiveness with him, and repenting sinners are forgiven sinners. Come then, repenting sinner, come, approach with humble faith. O what thou wilt, the total sum is cancelled by his death. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. Little by little, his strength was restored to him. But how often it is under the chastening hand of God. It is under affliction that the Lord brings a sinner to repentance. We think of the case of the Old Testament Manasseh, such a wicked man, but he obtained mercy. The Lord laid the most awful affliction upon him, but he was blessed with repentance and confessed his sins and forsook them and denied his past life and obtained forgiveness. And that sacred flood from Jesus' veins was free to take away a Mary or Manasseh stains, or a Samson stains, or your stains, or my stains, or sins more vile than they. Howbeit, I obtained mercy. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. That strength came back, his natural strength and his spiritual strength. The Lord is able to restore the days of your youth, to renew your strength as the eagle. The second step was faith. It is made very clear to us in Hebrews 11 that Samson possessed true, God-given, justifying faith, and it was this that reigned at the end of his life. It was grace that reigned, and there was that faith. You see that faith in his last days. Then the third thing was prayer. You know what his prayer was. Lord, remember me. How many a sinner has prayed that prayer, remember me? It took the dying thief to glory. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, as vile as he, wash all my sins away. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And that very day the dying thief prayed, remember me. I'm sorry. And that very day the dying thief prayed, remember me. He was in paradise with the Saviour. And the same day that a guilty Samson prayed, remember me, he was in heaven with the Saviour. It is like that little prayer, Lord, help me. What blessings it has brought, what comfort it has brought. And this little prayer, Lord, remember me. Perhaps it is your prayer. Perhaps you pray it like this. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. So we believe the Lord graciously exercised him in his last days, and the hair of his head began to grow again. His Nazarite vow was restored. Separation, dedication to Christ. And that strength again came and was bestowed upon him. Of course, there have been instances of this in the history of the Church of God. That little book I wrote a few years ago on David Crossley, which I entitled The Puritan Samson. In his early days, times of persecution, He and his cousin went across the north of England, preaching Christ where he had never been preached before. There was a remarkable effect. He came down to preach at one of the great meeting houses in London and stayed at the house of John Strudwick, where 2 years before Bunyan had died. There was a beautiful tapestry of Samson fighting with the lion. He thought how Samson was an eminent type of Christ, and he preached a most remarkable sermon. When an eminent church in London needed a pastor, who but David Crossley? And then, like Samson, he fell into open sin. He was excommunicated by his church. It was strange that his famous sermon should be on Samson. He seemed to follow the pattern of Samson's life. Then in his old age, he was most graciously restored, and he was made pastor of the church where he was as a boy. They built a chapel specially for him when he was young, and in his old age he returned there and republished his old sermon. He asked George Whitefield to write the preface. Whitefield said, "I am only a child compared with the great David Crossley." There was a murderer about to be executed at Lancaster Prison who asked to see him. He stayed with him 3 days in the prison. When he got back in the Rossendale Valley, he preached in the open air to a few thousand people, giving an account of the conversion of the convicted murderer, and at the end asked the congregation to sing, "Show pity, Lord. O Lord, forgive. Let a repenting rebel live." So David Crossley, in more modern times, like Samson, was one used by God, yet one who fell so dreadfully. But the Lord blessedly restored him and made him such a blessing. Well, just a few words on the end of Samson's life. This greatest display of God-given strength, when he was being made a sport by the Philistines, and he laid hold of the two pillars of the house and pulled the whole house on top of him. Over 3,000 Philistines perished. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. You must not look at this from carnal reason. There must not be the suggestion that this was suicide. It was by the clear leading of God. It was more like a captain leading his troops into battle in the sure knowledge that he will be killed. There was not any suicide here. The Lord honoured Samson in his death. Though he put it like this, he prayed to be avenged for his two eyes. It seemed that the point at the end was he wanted finally to be used by God, because this would be a clear indication of his forgiveness. They used to say in the army, whatever crime a soldier had committed, if he was appointed as an officer, it was the same as pardon. The way the Lord answered Samson's prayer and used him for his glory in the destruction of so many thousands of the enemies of the people of God, it shows his mercy and favour. Samson called upon the Lord. He died in prayer. A wonderful thing if you and I die in prayer. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. He knew where his strength lay. Strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. It is in this that Samson has usually been spoken of as an eminent type of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But the vital point, beloved friends, for you and me this evening, in all our felt weakness and spiritual helplessness and need, is this. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. It was not the end with Samson. It is not the end with you and me. There may be greater things, more blessed things before us. God is able to restore. Grace does abound over sin. I like the end of it. His brethren took him and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol, the very place of his early triumph, where the Spirit of the Lord had moved him at times in the camp of Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. Amen. I'll read the notices and then will Andrew come and announce the last hymn and close the service, please. The notices are that the collections last Lord's Day were £850, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach on Friday evening and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day. Andrew, please.
We'll close with hymn 970. Holy Father, God of love, throned in majesty above, just and true are all thy ways, worthy of eternal praise. In 970. O Lord, do look upon us now in mercy as we come to the end of our services today. We ask, O Lord, that thou wilt forgive anything that has been wrong in thy sight in our worship here today. And O, we do earnestly pray that thou wilt truly bless thy word that we have heard, that we have read, that we have sung. O Lord, do truly bless it to our souls. Do apply it to us each, Lord, that we may each know those unshakable truths that we heard of this morning. O Lord, that we may each have that true and real religion founded on that rock, Jesus Christ. Lord, do grant then these great blessings to us each. O grant us more of those truths, those fruits of thy love. Lord, real repentance, real faith. Lord, have mercy upon us each and bless us then, we pray. And Lord, may something that we've heard today be truly applied to us each as we go out from here this evening. Lord, may we not leave everything behind, but Lord, may something stay with us. Stay with us through this next week. Stay with us, Lord, through time and to prepare us for eternity, we pray. O Lord, do truly then bless thy word to us. And grant, Lord, that we may each truly know that love of God as an almighty Father to us each, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that true communion of thy Spirit. We ask now for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.